Thank you. You may be seated this morning. God is good and all the time. I'm going to invite you to find your way to Psalm chapter 20 this morning. Psalm chapter 20. My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as a pastor here, and want to thank you for being here this morning. If my wife Joy and I have not had a chance to meet you, we would love the opportunity to greet you and to get to know you. We'll be in the foyer right there in the lobby as soon as church is over, and just want to say hi and thank you for joining us this morning. I do want to say real quickly, thank you to all of you who gave me all the birthday wishes. I turned 51 on Friday, so yeah, you can cheer, but I don't like it, so that's all right. That's great. August, you know, is always that reminder that I'm getting old, so that's okay. Welcome today. I'm going to move past that really quickly, all right? We are in our series, our summer sermon series entitled Summer Playlist. Our playlist this summer is Psalm 11 through 21. Today we are in Psalm chapter 20. And of course, if you're not really familiar, Psalms is mostly a collection of poems and songs. And like even songs today, they have a way of expressing and evoking emotions. That's what songs do for us. And so David is an author of many of the Psalms, not all of them. And what we see in the book of Psalms by the different authors is that oftentimes they're expressing faith. They're sometimes expressing lack of faith. Sometimes they're expressing a victory over battles. And sometimes they're expressing their doubt as they enter into a battle. Sometimes they're giving praise to God who rescued them, and sometimes they're crying out to God why he hasn't rescued them. And so you just get this raw and real emotion of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Because, you know, as we often say here at Hallmark, what we have figured out is we don't have it all figured out, and we need each other, and we're all filled with hurts and habits and hang-ups. And some days, don't you feel like you could do anything for God? No? It was just like big. I even used my like this, like I was ready for. Sometimes, don't you feel like you could do anything for God? And sometimes, don't you feel like God could never use you? Yeah, I think that one's easier, maybe resonates with us more often, doesn't it? And that's what the Psalms reveal to us, that it's okay, that we all have those moments and days and sometimes days upon days of, God, where are you? Last week in chapter 19, we looked at the importance of God's word, and I'm hoping that you are challenged to really get into the Bible. Today in chapter number 20, just kind of a brief introduction to the book, or to this chapter, is we really don't know the exact context of the chapter. What it seems like was happening here is what most scholars would tell us, is that the congregation, the people of Israel, have gathered in the sanctuary of the Lord, and they are praying on behalf of their king as he enters into battle. What a great picture today to think about the people of Israel joining their hearts. And I wrote it down like this, that chapter 20 is this petition of prayer for God's protection. Next week when we get to chapter 21, it seems like that it shifts from the petition of prayer for God's protection to a proclamation of praise for God's protection. It almost seems like chapter 20 is going into battle, we're going to pray, and chapter 21 is on the other side of the battle, and we're going to praise. What a great picture for us. And so when we look at this chapter this morning, it's broken up into like a prayer that is meant to be in a congregation. Whether it was David specifically that wrote all of this, or whether he penned this later as he recounted the day when he was in the sanctuary of the Lord and the people of God prayed for the king. And so as you look at the text, verses 1 through 5 are a prayer from the people. Verse number 6 is a response of the king as a result of the prayer of the people. And then 7 and following is now the people once again praying on behalf of their king. All right, so what I want to do this morning is I kind of want to model this. All right, so I'm going to invite you all to stand up. Okay, everybody stand up. I know you've been comfortable now, but get up. I talked to a few of the students walking in this morning, and they may or may not have stayed up too late last night, and so I'm going to get them to stand up, and maybe they'll stay awake just for a little longer. Okay? All right, gotcha. So here's what you're going to do. It's going to be on the screen, and we're going to kind of model what they did in Psalm 20 as you picture the king, David, going into the temple to pray on behalf of God, that God would give him victory in battle. And the crowd, it's the congregation, it's the people of Israel, they pray this prayer over David. So verses 1 through 5, you guys are going to read together. Are you tracking with me? Okay, it's going to be on the screen. It's even going to cue you that says congregation, okay? And then there's going to be only one slide that says Pastor John. Okay, that's going to be verse number 6. And then when we get to verse 7, who's going to be doing the reading? You guys have been listening. You're so good. All right, I'm going to get you started, and then I'm going to leave you on your own. All right, here we go. Ready? May... There was one distinct voice I heard, but I'm not going to say who it was. Anybody else hear that distinct voice? Okay, I won't say it was my dad. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. God, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom we have to stand and publicly proclaim the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Lord, you have highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at his name every knee will bow, of those on earth and those in heaven and those under the earth. Lord, one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we want to lift high the name of Jesus, the name by which is above every name, the only name in which we can have salvation and hope of heaven. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we walk through your word that you would speak into our hearts. May we be challenged today by your word. May we accept the challenge today and receive what you have for us. It's in the powerful, in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for participating. So what I want to do this morning, and just by information, if you're not familiar or not sure, there's in the foyer every Sunday morning, we have an outline for you. You're welcome to pick that up and kind of follow along. If you're following along on the YouVersion Bible app, we have the notes uploaded there every single Sunday. You can go under their events and type in Hallmark, and it'll come up there right there for you. What I want to do this morning, though, is just kind of walk back through this verse by verse. And in some of the verses that it's obvious or that it's clear, what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of explain real quickly what the context was, what the specific prayer was about. But I also then want to point out or reveal some of the areas in this passage of Scripture that point to not to King of Israel, but to the King of Kings. All right, so we're going to see King David, right? This is what's specifically in this context the prayer is about or for. But I think there's some obvious areas in this passage of scripture that point to not King David, but King Jesus. And then I want to point out maybe some points of application for us. How could this apply for us this morning or today? So verse number one, may the Lord, and remember when you see in your English Bible, the Lord, all caps, that's the name Yahweh, what we sang about on the very first song this morning. About 30% of you didn't hear it because you weren't quite here yet, but that's okay. You can go back online and listen to it, all right? Yahweh, may the Lord, may Yahweh, this is the covenant name of God. When God showed up in Exodus chapter 3 to reveal himself to Moses, this was who he said, you can call me Yahweh. You can call me Lord. May the Lord answer you in the day of, what's that word? You guys ever been in trouble? I'm not talking about the principal's office. Okay, this idea of trouble here is distress. Anyone ever been in distress before? Anybody ever felt like your life was spinning out of control? Anyone ever felt like you didn't have an answer for all the questions that people are bringing you with? Anyone felt like there's too many bills and not enough money? Anyone ever been distressed? Yes. That's really what the word is. Now, specifically in this text, it's talking about battle. Okay? As he's about to go to battle, this is the prayer of the people for King David. May the Lord answer you in the day of distress. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. What a prayer that the people of God pray over the man of God. And as David is entering a battle, the nation of Israel gathers in the temple of God, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and they say, God, would you answer? Would you defend? Here's a simple takeaway just from this verse. God hears and God helps. Have you experienced the help of God in your life? Have you experienced those moments of distress when God came to defend you, to help you, that he answered you? Verse number two, may he send you, again, this, may God send you, David, help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. These two words, these two pictures, sanctuary representing the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God, that he would give you strength out of Zion. Zion would be the hill, the mountain, that the temple would be built. And again, it's just a representation. Both the sanctuary and Mount Zion would be the idea here. What the author is trying, what David is trying to get us to realize that what we're praying for, that he would strengthen you, that he would help you, that his presence would be with you. You ever experienced being afraid and realizing at some moment, somehow, some way, whether it was through the reading of your word, maybe it was on a Sunday morning like this morning when the church gathers and we sing praises unto God. And you've ever experienced that inner understanding in your life that God's presence is with me. You ever experienced that? And when you experience and understand through the reading of God's word, through the understanding of the character and the name of God, and you rest even in the fearful moments, even in the day of distress, you rest in the reality and the understanding that God's presence is with me. And when you really, when that resonates with you, when the truth of the word of God fills you and you understand in this moment, that's when you think about Philippians chapter 4 that says, God will give you peace that's beyond our understanding. But what does Philippians 4 verse 6 say? Worry about nothing, pray about everything. And when we pray, the result of prayer, verse 7, is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. It's what we see here. The people are praying that David would experience the presence of God. And because he experiences the presence of God, he gives peace of God. In my distress, God, will you answer? God, will you defend? God, will you allow David to experience your sanctuary? Will you strengthen him out of Zion? I want to practically think about this for a moment. Again, let's remember the picture here. What is taking place is David is about to go to battle. The people of God are praying for the man of God. I read this long quote from Charles Spurgeon. And I don't know about you, but those guys that wrote a couple hundred years ago, when they write and they have quotes, it takes me about 10 times reading it to understand it. Anybody else like that is like, what are you trying to say? I think this is good, but I don't know. And so what I have done for my own benefit is I have dumbed down a long quote that I'm not going to read for you, but I'm going to give you a quote adapted from a long quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says this, "This prayer may be a prayer of a pastor for his people or from the people for their pastor." Now, again, when it talks about this, it may be a prayer of a pastor. It's not talking specifically about the text. I think what would look at this text and say, maybe verses 1 through 5, possibly that's a pattern for us to pray. Specifically in this context, it was the people praying for their king. But for us this morning, for us to like a takeaway this morning is maybe this pattern, what the people were praying for David, would be a benefit for you as the people of God to pray for the man of God. And maybe also on the flip side of that, maybe this is a prayer that the man of God or the pastor would pray for his people. Are you tracking with me? May the Lord answer you as I pray this over you in your day of trouble. May the name of God defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. What a prayer for a pastor to pray for his people, that you in your day of distress would feel the rescue of God, the presence of God. What a prayer for the pastor to know that the people are praying for him, that his day of distress, when he is going to spiritual battle on behalf of the people, that the people would pray, God, would you answer? God, would you defend? God, would you strengthen out of Zion? Verse number 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. So again, as we see in the Old Testament, it was customary for the priest to go to the prophet or the priest, and they would offer a sacrifice on behalf of to God, on behalf of the people, before they would enter battle, that God would protect. And all these things that they're praying for, this would be the reason that they would go and offer the sacrifice. You remember when Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, when he was waiting for Samuel to show up, and they were about to go to battle with the Philistines, and he offered the sacrifice, even though he was not supposed to offer the sacrifice, and he was reprimanded. Remember, he blamed Samuel, it's your fault, you didn't show up. And then a few chapters later, in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, again, Saul was supposed to completely destroy the Amalekites, King Agag, and what the 1 Samuel 15 tells us that he kept all the best of the sheep. When Samuel questioned him, what did Saul say? Oh, well, we kept them on behalf of God because we wanted to offer the best sacrifices to God. And what did Samuel say to Saul? It is better to obey than sacrifice. So there's an expectation or understanding, or maybe an implication is a better word, in verse number 3. What are the people praying? May God remember all your offerings. Okay, so David has gone in the proper manner to offer unto God. May he remember your and accept your burnt sacrifice. He's made a sacrifice on behalf to God for the battle. There's an understanding here that potentially there's offerings that God doesn't remember, and there's sacrifices that God does not accept. What is the offering? What is the sacrifice that God would accept? Well, Scripture would be very clear. It's an offering and a sacrifice made from a position of faith, walking in obedience. As David was faithful and offered the offering and the sacrifice in faith to God, walking in obedience, the same is true for us, isn't it? When we offer a sacrifice of praise to God, like many of you did this morning through music. What's the sacrifice, the offering of praise that God will accept? It's from the follower of Jesus that's walking in faith and walking in obedience. But I can't help but think about this idea of sacrifice. May the God accept your sacrifice. And every year, or every battle, when they would offer a blood sacrifice to God, and every year they would offer a sacrifice of atonement, and every year it was expressed in faith that one day the perfect sacrifice would show up. And I think it's a great opportunity. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3:18. Because I think this sacrifice allows us the opportunity to point to Jesus, who became our sacrifice, who was accepted. 1 Corinthians 3:18, Christ also suffered once for sins. The just, that's Jesus. For the unjust, that's me and you. That he might bring us to God. Why did Jesus sacrifice his life and shed his blood? That he could bring us to God. That we could have a relationship with God, our Creator, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Jesus died for us, but he came back to life. Are you thankful for that? And because of that, he was the once for all accepted sacrifice that we now can have access to God. Hebrews 10 says in verse number 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering, the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering a piece of the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sins. Again, he's looking back at the Old Testament sacrifices that were pointing to Jesus, the greater, the once for all sacrifice. Verse number 12, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. I'm thankful that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on my behalf, that I can receive grace, forgiveness, and relationship with God, my Creator. Verse number 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. So the people are saying, David has prayed, David has offered the sacrifice, David is seeking the blessing of God to go to battle on behalf of the people of God. Why is David going to battle? And David is going to battle to protect the people of God. David is going to battle to protect the honor of God. We saw that in when David was just a shepherd boy. Remember, David shows up on the battlefield and Goliath is up there mocking the people of God, and God is, and Goliath is mocking God himself, and David, it ticked him off. As the rest of the people were fearful, David was mad. And why was David mad? Because he was mocking God. David, as he passed away years later, what would God say about David? He was a man after God's own heart. His heart was revealed early on that why did he go to battle? To defend his God, the character and the name of God. And this is why they would say, according to your heart's desire. They knew the desire of God, of David's heart. And then it goes on to say, and fulfill all your purpose. I want to just pause there for a moment. This idea of purpose. I think sometimes we can get hung up on the desires of our heart, right? We know the scriptures. John chapter 5 says in verse number 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we ask of him. Psalm 37, 4, this is a lot of people's favorite verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And in these two passages, we're not getting a blank check to ask whatever you want, because if you desire it, God's going to give it to you. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. It's not that he gives you what your heart desires. It's that he changes the desires of your heart. You see, the more I delight in God, going back to last Sunday, the more I dig into his word, the more I understand the nature and the character of God, the more I delight in knowing him, the more God directs my desires. In other words, David's desire was to fulfill the word of the will of God in his life. This is why the rest of the verse says, there in verse number 4, and fulfill all your purpose. I'm curious this morning, do you feel like that you are walking, your heart's desire is to do the will of God in your life? Do you feel like that your heart's desire is to say, yes, God, whatever you want. I want to live on purpose, God, for your purpose. Jesus did. Jesus said in John 18:37, for this cause I was born. John 17, Jesus said, I've glorified you on earth. I have finished the work. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Paul said it this way, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Jesus walked in his purpose. Paul walked in his purpose. King David is walking in his purpose. The question for application for you this morning is, are you walking in his purpose? Carlos mentioned about the ministry fair. And I would say if you're not actively serving through a local church, the local church is the plan God has to restore mankind to himself, to share the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. And if you're not fulfilling your purpose through the local church, I think it'd be hard for you to say, my desire is to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. This is why we ask you to serve, not just to fill a spot. It's not just so we can have the right quota in kids ministry. We've got to have 2 for X amount of kids. Now that's a reality because we want to protect your kids. But there's a greater purpose there. There are people sacrificing watching kids today so that mom and dad can sit and just hear from God. There's also adults sitting with kids today teaching them the word of God, that they can understand how to live in their purpose. That's why we want you to get involved. So, quick application. You think about it. Is God giving you the desire of your heart? And is your desire of your heart to walk in his purpose? To fulfill his purpose for you? It was David's. Verse number 5, it transitions a little bit from this prayer to now it seems like they're already believing in faith that God's going to answer their prayer. Look what it says in verse number 5. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Going back to Exodus 17, remember when Moses was raising his hands and he got tired and finally God defeated the enemy and he said, this is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. If you want to listen to a great message on the Lord is my banner, go back on Hallmark's YouTube channel, March 24th, 24, and that was when Pastor Nathan preached, the Lord is my banner, right? Go back and search that. It's a great, I don't have time to unpack all that, but what we see here is they've prayed, God protect, God deliver, God give the presence, and God be with our king. And then in verse number 5, before he goes out to battle, look as their faith is explained and expressed through we will. What does it say? We will rejoice in your salvation. God, we know you hear us. God, we know you answer. God, we know when we ask according to your will that you will provide and you will protect and you will deliver and we will raise up high the name of Jesus. Jesus is our banner. Do you believe that? Jesus was raised up on the cross as the banner to signify this is our victory. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. And what an explanation, what an expression of faith. We will rejoice. Do you pray with that much faith? I don't know if I do. Depends on what I'm asking for, to be honest. But oh, to have the faith. God, we believe. We're going to rejoice in your salvation. We're already making the banner. When you answer the prayer, we are going to lift high the banner of our Lord. God, would you fulfill, would you answer all the king's petitions? And I want you to think for a moment, as this prayer goes to praise, what does this do for King David? Remember, let's think for a moment that when the people of God, you, pray for the man of God, what does that do for the pastor? When the pastor prays for the people, what does that do for the people? Look at what David responds in verse number 6. Now I, what's the next word? Now I what? It's a statement of confidence, isn't it? It's a statement of faith. And I think what's happened here is that as the people express their prayer and then they express their praise, believing God's going to answer the prayer, what does that do for their king? It gives him greater faith. Now I know that the Lord saves the anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. Can I encourage you, if you're not already praying for your leaders and your spiritual leaders and for your pastor, to do that? There's something about me praying for you and you praying for me that will strengthen both of our faith. Do you believe that? The truth is, I love talking to our older generation. In fact, you know, a few years ago, we were done printing or sending you guys a Christmas card from the staff. It's like, well, who cares if they get a Christmas card from the staff with a picture, right? I personally don't care. And you know what one of the older person told me? Not even talking about it, they said, you know, it was just a random conversation. I said, you know, every day I get out that Christmas card y'all sent, and I pray for every person on the staff. And the guy was smacking me across the face. That's why you send a picture, so they'll pray for you. You know the feeling, right? When you ask someone to pray for you. Listen, let me give you some advice. When someone asks you to pray for you to pray for them, don't just say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Stop. Pray. You ever had someone just stop and put their hand on your shoulder and pray over you? What does that feel like? It's like the presence of God. It's like the strength of God. It's like their faith transferred to me. And what an opportunity that you and I have to pray for one another, to strengthen each other's faith, to encourage one another. And David says, did you enjoy just listening to everybody read the passage of Scripture this morning? There's something about listening to God's word proclaimed. There's something about hearing the people of God pray. Every Sunday morning we meet at 9 o'clock with all the group that's serving that day. And they lay hands on me or whoever might be preaching that day and they just pray. And there's something powerful about the prayer. David is encouraged. David is challenged. David's faith is strengthened. And then it transitions back. Verse number 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember, or we will trust the name of the Lord our God. It's on the screen. Could we read that together again today? Ready? Some trust in May that be our prayer. Of course, in this context, it was speaking about battle, right? The strength of an army. And some trust in their military expertise, or some trust in the capability of their chariots and their horsemen. But the nation of Israel said, "We will trust in the name of the Lord our God." And for you today, what did verse 1 say? In my day of trouble, my distress. We all have a choice to make daily. Some trust in, what are you trusting in right now? Your career path, hopefully not your 401k after the last couple weeks. What are you trusting in? Your ability? You always figure a way out. You always land on your feet. Like I'm trusting in, what are you trusting in? And in your distress, you have a choice. I pray, like the nation of Israel. Let's read it again. Some trust in chariots. Verse 8, they have bowed down and fallen. Who's they? Those who trusted in the horses and the chariots. But we have risen and stand upright. Who's the we? Those who've trusted in the name of the Lord our God. Verse 7 leads to verse 8. Will you stand in your own strength, or will you trust in the name of the Lord? Could I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment? Who would say right now, just raise your hand, God, John, I need to tell God right now, I need to confess. If I'm going to be really transparent this morning, the day of trouble is upon me. I'm a little stressed out right now. Would you just put your hand up? I'm a little stressed out right now. A thousand different reasons, right? There's at least probably half the audience has raised their hand right now. I'm going to ask you, would you just stand if you're stressed out right now? Just stand. I want to pray over you. Just stand up right where you're at. It could be a big, it could be small. It doesn't matter. It's never too big or never too small for God. And I just want to pray over you. As the nation of Israel prayed over their king, it's just back and forth. God, you know each situation. You know each hurt. You know what's causing or creating the stress right now for these that are standing. And Lord, I pray, as the people prayed over David, that you will answer, that you will defend, that you will strengthen, that they will experience and feel the presence of the powerful God. Lord, that you will answer all their petitions. Lord, that their desire, even in the struggle, would be to fulfill the purpose you have for their life. And may we rejoice in your salvation. May we lift up the banner who is our defender, our Lord, our King. God, may we trust in the name of the Lord our God, who is able to deliver. I'm going to ask the rest of us to stand. Would you all stand with us this morning? And I just want to simple close out by challenging you. If God has placed just a burden on your heart, or maybe you just need to pray, we're going to sing a last song of worship. The altar is open. You're welcome to just come and kneel and pray and just cry out to God. Maybe today it's just to come and pray for your leaders, to pray that God would protect and provide and deliver and the presence would be felt. God, in this last few minutes that we're here today, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified. Help us, Lord, to every day trust in you.